Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll hear about prosthetics for pets. We'll learn which dogs live the longest and find out what to do if your cat is passing too much gas. First, we'll start with brace yourself. This prosthetic engineer is giving animals a leg up. This was a story in PBS on PBS NewsHour by Julia Griffin. She says the first thing you notice about Derek Capanna's workshop is the machinery. Between the ovens, sewing machines, and vacuum tubes lining the walls, it's easy to think Capanna is a home economics teacher until you catch sight of the dusty paw prints. Capanna and his team use the tools not for domestic projects, but to build prosthetic and orthotic devices for animals. Capanna, one of the world's leading experts in animal orthotics, is on a mission to give disabled pets and farm animals options for more mobile lives. This is just the best job ever, Capanna says. He's the president and CEO of Animal Ortho Care in Sterling, Virginia. And he told me, as we stand by a dozen plaster molds waiting at his workstation, I went to school for human prosthetics and orthotics, but I always loved animals. So to be able to combine both passions is just a dream come true. Capanna made the jump to the animal field 12 years ago when few, if any, people created artificial limbs for dogs and other pets. A veterinarian came to my office and she brought a dog that needed a prosthesis. At the time, it was so strange to me that someone would even do that, he said. I gave it a shot and it was successful. And a light bulb went off and I said, let's start a business. Capanna figured there must be thousands of animals in need of these types of services. Over the past decade, Capanna estimates he has treated more than 10,000 patients. More than 90% have been dogs, but he has also worked with a range of farm and zoo animals, from goats in New Jersey to rams in Spain and eagles at a Busch Gardens theme park. Two Asian elephants in Thailand who lost front limbs in landmines are among his largest patients. Capanna proudly lifted the two massive casts of their damaged limbs to prove it. They were actually better than any patient I ever saw. They just held their legs out, and the trainers did such a good job, I was able to cast them pretty effectively, he said. It took a lot longer than casting a dog, but we got it done. Made primarily from highly durable medical-grade plastic and foam, Capanna's devices, on average, between $500 and $1,200. They cost between $500 and $1,200. They are crafted on plaster molds made from limb casts sent in from owners, veterinarians, and rehab facilities around the world. Some animals require multiple sets of prosthetics as their bodies adjust to new alignments, but Capanna argues the effort is still a viable alternative to costly surgeries or euthanasia. Still, he cannot help every patient, no matter how much their owners might press for a solution to their pet's mobility challenges. That's the hardest part in this field. If the amputation on the front leg is at the elbow or higher, I can't make a prosthesis that is safe and functional. People beg me to do it, and I say, it's only going to hurt your animal, so I'm not going to do it. It'll do more harm than good. Angel Marie, a pony whose front legs were crushed by her mother at birth, was one of those tough calls. Capanna ultimately crafted a brace and prosthetic limb for her. Whenever I look at a patient, I ask, am I going to help or hinder their mobility, or help or hinder their quality of life, he said. Angel Marie was really on the 50-50 scale for me, but the owners were adamant about trying something. Now they say she can walk around the pasture and act like a normal pony. Even when successful, Capanna's work, especially with horses, does draw some criticism. I feel like the equine field is like what the canine was 15 years ago, where they just wanted to put animals down instead of trying to put on a device to extend their life, Capanna said. He argued the continued success of these cases has begun to change the narrative toward broader acceptance among veterinarians. In the future, Capanna plans to produce 3D printed prosthetics, which at the moment cost more and are less durable, as well as devices made from low-temperature thermoplastics that can be altered by owners at home with a hairdryer or other heating device. If an owner finds the prosthesis or brace is too thin and rubbing the wrong way, for instance, they could then heat it and slightly mold it into a more comfortable shape. When it cools, it becomes hard again. But for now, he is just glad to help the animals he can. Seeing those dogs walk again and their tails wag and their eyes glitter again, and it's just the best feeling in the world, and it's a job I'll do until I die, Capanna said. Next, one of the toughest things about owning a dog is that they just don't live long enough. Meet the longest living dog breeds by Gemma Johnstone at the Spruce Pets. The size of your dog can make a big difference in their longevity. Small dogs consistently live longer than bigger breeds. If you want to get the maximum number of years with your beloved canine, then don't opt for a giant breed. They rarely live longer than 8 years. Here are some of the breeds that are known for their longevity. The Chihuahua. The tiny Chihuahua may appear delicate, even frail, but they are arguably the breed that has the longest average lifespan. You will frequently find Chais that live to be over 15 years old, with some even living as long as 20 years. A Chihuahua named Megabyte passed away in 2014 at the grand old age of 20 years and 265 days. Because of their size and popularity, though, the Chihuahua is not without its health problems. Also, despite their size, they still require plenty of exercise, stimulation, and training to avoid problem behaviors developing. They can be very spunky little characters. The Dachshund. It is not uncommon to meet a doxy that is over 15 years old. A Dachshund called Chanel features in the Guinness World Record for being the oldest living dog. She passed away in 2011 at the age of 21. Despite their endurance, doxies can have age-related health problems, particularly back issues. You must help your Dachshund maintain a healthy weight. Obesity can increase the chances of them developing painful spinal problems. The Toy Poodle. The sassy and super intelligent toy poodle can make a great family pet. Don't underestimate the amount of energy they have, though, and the amount of stimulation they will need to keep their busy minds active. It's not uncommon to see them reach the grand old age of 18. A toy poodle called Lady that passed away in 1937 was thought to have lived to 28 years old. The Jack Russell Terrier. The JRT is another toy breed that is not uncommon to see living up to 16 years of age. A JRT also features in the Guinness World Records as the oldest dog living at the time. Willie reached 20 years old before passing away in 2014. This breed is not a lap dog. They were bred for working, and they retain the working drive, courage, and energy to this day. The Shih Tzu, another small dog that is commonly seen living to over 15 years old, the Shih Tzu's friendly temperament and adaptability make them a popular breed. Unless they are regularly clipped down, their coat does need a lot of maintenance, so you should be prepared for regular grooming sessions. Smokey, the Shih Tzu, famously lived to reach the staggering age of 28 before passing away in 2014. That must have been quite a year. Maltese. The Maltese is regarded as generally being an exceptionally healthy small breed. They regularly exceed 15 years of age. They are a breed that thrives on company and affection. This means they can be prone to separation anxiety issues if they are left for prolonged periods or are not properly introduced to alone time. The Yorkshire Terrier. Yorkies are a popular and intelligent toy breed, but they should not be deemed as a lap dog. They have terrier traits too, And although they are loyal and affectionate with their families, they also have strong guarding instincts. As a result, they can be vocal and prone to guarding. It's not unusual to hear about a Yorkie living to be between 16 and 18 years of age. The Pomeranian. Pomeranians are known for being friendly, but sometimes a touch bossy. The Pom, like the Yorkie, is usually extremely loyal to their family and known to be a bit of a mini guard dog, too. While they can be feisty, with the right training, this intelligent breed can make a great family pet. The oldest recorded Pom reached 21 years of age, and they commonly live beyond 15 years. The Shiba Inu. Pusuki, a Shiba Inu mix, passed away in 2011 at the impressive age of 26. For a medium-sized breed, the Shiba Inu has a long lifespan, and they can live up to 15 years old. While this breed is not for everyone, they are very strong-willed and can be aloof. They are growing in popularity outside of their country of origin, Japan. They're clean, quiet, adaptable, healthy, and a loyal breed. The Australian Cattle Dog. The Australian Cattle Dog, also known as the Blue Heeler, is not known for having the same longevity as some of the smaller breeds on this list. They are, however, regularly seen living up to 15 years old and sometimes even beyond. Their lifespan is generally longer than many of their similar-sized counterparts. The oldest recorded dog on record is an Australian Cattle Dog. Bluey passed away in 1933 at the remarkable age of 29 years old. The ACD is not usually regarded as the best dog for novice owners. They are extremely intelligent, with a high working drive, and thrive in active homes that will enjoy taking part in competitive dog sports. Breeding lines, diet, and lifestyle all play a large part in the longevity of your dog. If you want to have a dog that shares as many years as possible with you, then opting for a smaller dog could also increase the chances of this happening. Small does not necessarily mean you will have an easy lap dog, though. Often smaller breeds are extremely intelligent and sassy, and they should get appropriate exercise, training, and stimulation. This will help to keep them happy and healthy and prevent problem behaviors from developing. Next, from PetMD, Jill Fanslaw has 5 remedies for upset stomach in dogs. When you have an upset stomach, you probably reach for ginger ale, crackers, or Pepto-Bismol to settle your tummy. But what should you do when your dog's stomach is out of sorts? Learn more about the causes and symptoms of upset stomach and tips for how to make your pup feel better with natural remedies right here. Common causes of upset stomach. There are many reasons your dog may have an upset stomach, though there's one common cause. He ate something he shouldn't have, said Kathy Backus, DVM, at Holistic Veterinary Services in Kaysville, Utah. Dogs are curious like kids. They're always putting things in their mouths, she said. Vomiting and diarrhea are signs that a dog's body is trying to expel something that shouldn't be in their system. In a healthy dog, it's a protective mechanism of the body that's totally normal. Stress, like separation anxiety, may also trigger an upset stomach, as can bacteria imbalances in the gut and food sensitivities, which are most likely caused by your dog's diet, she said. Diarrhea and vomit are the most obvious signs that your dog's stomach isn't feeling right, but you should also keep an eye out for fatigue and loss of appetite, said Jody Bierman, DVM, at Anschutz Veterinary Acupuncture in Madison, Wisconsin. Your dog may gulp a lot to combat reflux, lick his lips, or even lick the air or objects, too. If he's nauseous, you may also see him eat grass in order to soothe his stomach or try to induce vomiting, Bierman said. Remedies for upset stomach? While it's crucial to consult with your veterinarian before administering any home remedies to soothe your pup's tummy problems, here are a few you can try. Well, you can try doing nothing. When your dog's stomach is trying to get rid of something, it can be helpful to stop putting more things in his stomach for 12 to 24 hours, Backus said. If the GI system is having a tough time, you don't want it to digest things. Fasting for that long is absolutely fine for the dog, and it'll likely be harder for the pet parent to withhold food than it will be for the dog not to eat, she said. Try ice cubes. When your dog is vomiting or has diarrhea, you want to make sure he stays hydrated. However, giving him too much water may make his stomach even more upset, Backus said. Remove his water bowl from his reach and give him ice chips every 2 to 3 hours, she recommends. See if he can keep that down. Then give him some more ice cubes and a couple teaspoons of water. Bone broth. One of the most powerful things you can give to your dog to soothe and heal his stomach while keeping him hydrated is bone broth, Backus said. Simmer meat on the bone with apple cider vinegar and water in a crock pot. Backus prefers using a whole organic chicken. Once the meat falls off the bone, continue to simmer the bones until the minerals and marrow are released into the water, she said. Bone broth takes at least a day to make, so you'll need to make this meal before your pet actually gets sick. If you make it ahead, however, you can skim off the fat and freeze it. Then you can give your dog bone broth ice cubes when he is sick, Backus said. In a pinch, you can also buy boxed bone broth. Canned pumpkin. When fighting indigestion, canned pumpkin is a favorite of many holistic veterinarians. It has a low glycemic index, so it slowly absorbs, which helps with upset stomach and digestion, Beard said. Make sure you get canned pumpkin and not pumpkin pie mix, as you don't want to feed your dog spices, she said. According to Beerman, smaller dogs, approximately 5 pounds, can be fed a half a teaspoon of canned pumpkin, while larger dogs, approximately 75 pounds, can be fed 1 tablespoon. Randy Aronson, VMD of Paws Veterinary Center in Tucson, Arizona, even adds a tiny bit of ginger to the canned pumpkin. Like ginger ale, it soothes the stomach. Seek a veterinarian. Watch the overall pattern of the symptoms, which should slowly subside over 24 to 48 hours, Backus said. However, if your dog seems to be constantly uncomfortable or if the symptoms get worse, for instance, the frequency continues to increase every few hours, you see blood in the vomit or stool, or they collapse, call a veterinarian, as these symptoms could be indicative of pancreatitis, stomach bloating, a severe allergy, leaky gut syndrome, abnormal parasites, or another serious condition, Aronson said. If you discover that your dog ate something he's not supposed to, like a plant, food, toy, or chemical, seek help immediately, Backus said. If your pet dog has ingested something potentially poisonous and your veterinarian is unavailable, she recommends talking to an expert at the Pet Poison Helpline. The service is available 24 hours a day, and the employees can explain a poison's level of toxicity, common symptoms and signs, and proper care. They can also teach you how to poison-proof your household. When to worry about upset stomach. An upset stomach every once in a while is normal in every dog, but when a dog suffers often, it could signal that something is wrong in his gastrointestinal tract, Aronson said. In that case, he recommends taking a look at your dog's diet and staying away from foods that may create inflammation because of a food hypersensitivity, like chicken, lamb, and venison. Instead, choose meats like buffalo, beef, and fish that don't irritate your dog's GI tract, he said. He also recommends steering clear of corn, soy, wheat, and rice, and opting for millet, which is a low glycemic index carb, meaning it takes longer to digest. To help your dog maintain a healthy gut, you can also consider giving him a pre and probiotic, Aronson said. Like humans, 60% of a dog's immune system is in his bowels. When it's not healthy, your dog isn't healthy either. Always talk to your veterinarian first to find out the best course of action. And finally, let's clear the air on an unpleasant subject. On the Spruce Pets, Franny Sufi tells us what to do if your cat is farting. Cats have digestive tracts that are quite similar to a human or a dog, so they are not exempt from passing gas. But if a cat is farting more than you think is normal, it may be an indication of something else going on inside its body. Regular monitoring of your cat's normal gastrointestinal functions will help you be a better pet owner and know when your cat may need some veterinary attention. Why do cats fart? When a cat eats food, it travels through the digestive tract so that it can be broken down, have nutrients be absorbed, and then what isn't absorbed is eliminated from the body. Food starts in the mouth, travels down the esophagus and into the stomach, enters the small intestine, goes to the large intestine, and then exits the body in the form of feces. In the gastrointestinal tract, excess gas may be produced from eating certain gas-producing foods or diseases or parasite infestations. The gas will build up and eventually exits the body in the form of a fart. Swallowed air can also lead to belching or farting. If a cat doesn't get rid of the gas, pressure in the intestines causes discomfort. Treatment of cat farts. Oh, I'll get through this. One treatment is to eradicate intestinal parasites. If your cat has intestinal parasites, then medication to kill the invaders will be prescribed by your veterinarian. So some parasites are easier to eradicate than others. Over-the-counter dewormers are available, but since no medication kills all parasites, it's difficult to know if you are choosing the right one. Assess your cat's diet. Some cats have less gas on wet or dry food or do better with different ingredients than others. Diets that contain large amounts of food, of common gas-producing foods, such as legumes or cruciferous vegetables, may also be contributing reasons for a cat farting too much. Switching foods may help decrease. This is terrible. Switching foods may also help. Treat intestinal diseases. Many different intestinal disorders can cause gas. Dysbiosis, or an imbalance of the bacteria in the gut, is a common cause that is often corrected with probiotics. More serious diseases include cancers and inflammatory issues. Diarrhea, vomiting, or weight loss is usually evident alongside the flatulence in these cases, at least as the disease progresses. Medications may be prescribed to combat the disease and its symptoms. Surgery may be recommended and special diets may be discussed to improve the health of the intestinal tract. Diagnosing the problem. One of the first things you should do if you think your cat has too much gas is to make an appointment with your veterinarian. Bring a fecal sample in with you to be checked for parasites. The fecal exam will look for parasites such as coccidia, roundworm, and hookworms that can be causing excessive gas. This is a simple and routine test that can also be done on a yearly basis, especially if your cat goes outdoors. If parasites are not the reason for excessive farting, your cat may have an intestinal disease, particularly if additional symptoms are present. A full physical examination will include your veterinarian feeling the intestines to see if anything appears to be abnormal. X-rays, ultrasounds, blood tests, biopsies, and other diagnostics may be necessary. Exploratory surgery is sometimes the only way to retrieve appropriate samples and visualize the intestinal tract once other methods of diagnosis have been exhausted. If your cat has a clean bill of health, then you should look at its diet. Ask yourself, has there been a recent dietary change or indiscretion? Do you change your cat's food or treats? Did your cat get into something it shouldn't have eaten? Any of these things may cause excessive gas. If your cat gets different types of foods on a regular basis, consider keeping a food journal to track the relationship between the diet and your cat's gas. How to prevent cat farts? Well, the best way to keep your cat's farts to a minimum is to feed a quality cat food that agrees with your cat and to minimize dietary changes. Regular administration of probiotics may also help. Avoid feeding items containing lactose, such as milk, and take your cat in for regular checkups with your veterinarian to catch any intestinal problems early. Regular administration of intestinal parasite preventatives is also recommended in many cases. If you suspect your pet is sick, call your vet immediately. For health-related questions, always consult your veterinarian as they have examined your pet, know the pet's health history, and can make the best recommendations for your pets. Well, we've exhausted our reading today on cat gas. I hope you didn't find it too long-winded. That will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.